will impact everything. We're going to look at justification by faith. Now, what happens with some people when they hear justification by faith? They say, oh, we're going into church doctrine. And that word doctrine, and they hear doctrine, and they think, oh, doctrine, church doctrine. Oh, okay, I'll go prepare for this. Oh, church doctrine. Oh, dear me. Oh, this will be good. Oh, wake me up when it's over. That's what some people approach doctrine. It's the, something about the word doctrine. I don't know what it is. But let me tell you this. Mathematics can be boring to some people as well. And they approach mathematics in the same way. But to those who approach mathematics with an inquiring mind, those people who approach mathematics with the intelligence that God has given them, they may go on to employ mathematics and create huge buildings, tremendous bridges, structures that have shaped the modern world. Mathematics can be a tremendous thing. Mathematics sends the rocket into space. Mathematics has the satellites going round the world that lead to television broadcasts of the gospel. Mathematics is a tremendously exciting thing for those who understand it and employ it. Well, let me tell you this. Doctrine can be boring if you lack understanding. But if you have understanding, doctrine is a tremendously powerful thing that will shape your life, your family's life, and your future. Doctrine. That's why the Apostle Paul says it's important. So we're going to look at justification by faith. The teaching of justification by faith is what separates biblical Christianity from every other religion or belief system. In every religion, and even in some so-called branches of Christianity, mankind is trying to work his way towards God. But only in true biblical Christianity is mankind saved as a result of grace through faith. It's beautiful. Only when we get back to Bible Christianity do we see that justification is by faith apart from works. It's what Martin Luther first understood. And when Luther understood this, justification by faith alone, it transformed that Roman Catholic priest into a fire-filled believer in Jesus Christ. And when John Wesley heard the preface of the commentary that Luther then wrote to the book of Romans, he was captivated and he felt his heart was strangely warmed. Justification by faith did it, folks. Justification by faith has shaped Western society and shaped all of Christianity for the last 2 millennia. Justification means pronounced righteous or treated as righteous. Justification means pronounced righteous or treated as righteous. So for a Christian, justification is the act of God not only forgiving a believer's sins, but then also imputing to that believer the righteousness of Christ. It ought to put a big smile on faces. Imputing to him the righteousness of Christ. The Bible states in several places that justification only comes through faith. Turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Now, this will help people get joy. This is the sort of stuff that gets people singing, I've got the joy, 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 joy. Not only when they leave the church, but on their way to church as well. Hallelujah. Okay, it says in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Everyone say, and use your finger if you can, that's me. Everyone try it again. That's me.
That's me.
I'm justified.
I'm justified.
By faith alone.
By faith alone.
Not by works.
Not by works.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. Galatians 3:24. This is good medicine. Oh, I hope you're going to really drink this in this morning. Let this word abide in you. This is like medicine. Medicine to our minds. Medicine to our physical bodies even. Galatians 3:24, it says this. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's me, he says. That's me as well. It's every one of us. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. You see, the law, right and wrong doing, this is right, this is wrong, that the only thing the law does is show us that we're wrong. Oh, we may get some things right, of course, but basically what it does is it condemns us for the wrong that we do. Many Christians, you know, are still living under the law. And so they're living dejected. And when the enemy comes in with his lies, saying, oh, call yourself a Christian. Call yourself a Christian. Look at the way you're living. Look at that. Look at the way you behave. Look at the way you screamed at that person. You lost your temper. Look at that. Look at the way you, look at what you did then. Look at the enemy points out all those things that the law condemns us for. And so there is a sense in which, yes, those things that we've done are wrong. And yes, we stand guilty. But that's just half the story, isn't it? Yes, we were guilty. But look what has happened to us who believe. We have been justified. So when the enemy comes with his accusations, we need to be transformed in our thinking to the degree that we answer the accusation straight away and say, well, listen, that's just half the story. I've been justified. Hallelujah. Justified. And who did the justifying? Hallelujah. It wasn't just anyone. It was the greatest man that ever walked the earth, the God-man. It was Jesus Christ who justifies. And not to believe this, folks, if you don't believe this, you'll never walk in the freedom and the liberty that Christ has purchased. And also, you'll walk with a religious mindset. And the religious mindset will have you in condemnation in your life. And it'll rob you of joy, it'll rob you of victory, and it'll rob you of the abundant life that Jesus wants us to have. And it'll rob us of our plans and purposes that God has for our lives. So understanding the doctrine of justification is important for a Christian, vitally important for us. It's the very knowledge of justification and of grace that motivates us to good works and spiritual growth. You see, it's not that we try to do good works to please God. No. We're so thankful for what God has done for us through Jesus that we're so thankful, we're so happy, we've got the joy, 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 that now we want to do those things for him. You see, it's time for offering. I'm going to give my offering. I'm going to give my tithe of faith. I want to do what I can do. Oh, the church needs this. Or the church needs that. I want to do that. Or that person, that neighbor, this one over here needs something. That one over there needs to hear this. Or I want to pray. I want to study the word. Not out of religious duty, but I want to. Because of this wonderful Jesus and what he's done for me. You see? Religion has it the other way around. Religion has us doing good works in order that we may please God. Christianity is about us having a relationship with him, not because of good works, but because of his justification, and that results in then a changed life that follows. But religion tries to have the good works before. And when you talk to a religious person, they always point to their works as their justification. They always say, oh, well, we give to the poor, we do this, we do that, we you know, that's their sort of justification. They haven't grasped the truth of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Justification leads to an ongoing sanctification. So justification is given to us, and it results in an ongoing and increasing sanctification. In other words, those works that God has prepared beforehand, according to Ephesians, that we should walk in. And the doctrine of justification by faith helps maintain the simplicity that we have in Christ. You know, this is simple stuff. This isn't complex. This is really simple. But it's so simple, it bypasses a lot of Christian so-called people. 2 Corinthians 11:3. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, where it says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we, you and I, might become the righteousness of God. Is it a misprint? We're the righteousness of God. We're not just like a small righteousness. This isn't just a... We're the righteousness of God himself. Some Christians, you know, they believe that they have to work hard at becoming more righteous. It's ingrained in them. And they kick themselves when they do things wrong. You know, they do things wrong and then they fill with regret and, oh, I should have, and why am I so? And they go round and round in that mindset then, wondering why they are so wrong. And they don't realize that by doing these things, they're not seeking God's righteousness. They're trying to establish their own righteousness by their law-keeping and right conduct. But you see, the New Testament says we can't. No matter how good you are, no matter how much you try, you will never manage to keep the law. You just can't do it. There's no way for us to attain righteousness by our own good behavior. It's impossible. Right conduct won't do it. Righteousness is not about right conduct. It is a gift from God to us through Jesus. And since it's a gift, folks, we cannot earn it by our law-keeping and right conduct. What do you do with a gift? You only can receive it. That's the only way you get it, is by receiving it. It's a gift. And it's a gift from God. And he says to you, he says, you want to be righteous? And I expect everyone in the room says, oh, yes. Oh, yes. He says, well, receive it. Receive your righteousness. Jesus paid for it. Jesus accomplished it all on the cross. Jesus' blood was shed for it. And as soon as you believe, he injects it into you. Oh, glory to God. It's not about anything you can do, your right behavior, your trying your best, or anything else. It's not about your efforts. Your efforts aren't good enough. They'll never be good enough. But his effort was. And that's all he's calling us to do, is to believe in what he did. Hallelujah. It's so good news, folks. How do we receive the gift? We receive it through the cross. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. That we might be the righteousness of God in him. We're in Christ. When God gave us Jesus, he became our righteousness. So we have his righteousness now. And that means that we are 100% righteous. When God looks at you, he sees someone who is 100% righteous. But you say, yeah, but you don't know what I did. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter how wrong you were. It doesn't matter how many times you lost your temper. You're not righteous by works. You're righteous by faith, and by faith alone. Hallelujah. Good news for bad people, folks. Now put your hands up if in the... No. Good news for bad people. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. Not one of us can look at another. You see those religious people? You know, they're the ones that look down their nose at other people, you know, like the Pharisees in the Bible. You know, oh, that one doesn't pray as much as me. This one doesn't study the Bible as much as me. This one is this, this one is this. Listen, I believe in praying, and I would encourage everyone to come to the church 7 o'clock in the morning, midweek, and pray. We're praying, and God is directing. Hallelujah. So I encourage everyone to come and pray. I encourage everyone to study the Word. I believe in studying the Word. But I'm telling you this, it doesn't matter how long you pray, it doesn't matter how much you study the Word, it doesn't matter how many people you lead to Jesus, it doesn't matter what miracles God uses you for, you're never going to be enough in yourself. You'll always fail the test of against the law. You always will fail that test. And there's only one way for you to be righteous. It's by faith alone. And when you have faith in Jesus and his pure sacrifice for what he did on that cross, you are 100% righteous. You may be someone who's never even read the Bible. You may never even have attended a prayer meeting. You'll be just as righteous as the person who's been there for 50 years. You're still 100% righteous. You may have hundreds of bad habits. You may be someone who's just converted, and you may have a foul mouth. You may just be someone who is obnoxious, difficult to get, whatever. Doesn't matter. If you believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are 100% righteous in God's sight. And you see, when people get a hold of this, what happens is, it stirs them towards a change of life. Amen. See, the flesh isn't powerful enough on its own. But now, when we recognize what God has done, oh, there's gratefulness. Oh, and that makes us happy. Now we want to serve him. Now we want to follow him. Now we want to read the word. What else does it say? Think about this. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. Jesus knew no sin, did no sin, and in him was no sin. But at the cross, he received our sin and became sin for us. Is that what happened at the cross?
Amen.
That's what happened at the cross. Everyone who believes that's what happened at the cross, please just put your hand up. Not everyone believes? Everyone believes? Yeah? Well, watch this. Watch this. Thank you. Likewise, we who were sinners, knew no righteousness, did no righteousness, and in us was no righteousness. But at the cross, we received his righteousness and became the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah! At the cross, that divine exchange took place. Jesus took our place so that we might take his place. He didn't deserve to be made sin. He didn't deserve that. But he was made sin in our place. We didn't deserve to be made righteous. But we were made righteous because we received his righteousness. What good news!
Amen.
What amazing grace! Oh, yes, this grace is amazing stuff. Oh, glory to God. Come with me to the book of Romans, please. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. Romans 4, 5. And it says, but to him who does not work. Do you know, this is so nice, I feel like singing it. I just want to sing it out. Reading it doesn't say, I just feel like, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Hallelujah! Glory! But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, who believes on him who justifies the ungodly? Put your hands up, please, if you believe on him who justifies the ungodly. You're wise if you do. Put your hands up. His faith is accounted for righteousness. It's a simple equation, folks. Oh, glory to God. What do you think righteousness is about? Something you do or something you are? Right doing or right being? Right being. The Bible tells us that after Jesus' sacrifice at the cross, God imputes righteousness not to those who strive to obey the law, but to anyone who believes in his Son. Anyone who believes in his Son. Let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 2 as we begin to close this morning. Galatians chapter 2. Oh, this is a beautiful... Isn't this a beautiful doctrine? It feels like just water. It feels like I'm having a little spray of water on a hot day. It's just, oh, it's so beautiful. Does it feel like that for you? It feels like that for me. Oh, it's beautiful. It says in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Hallelujah. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it just sinking into us? Oh, hallelujah. The Word of God liberates us. It's beautiful, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. Because Christ took our sins and gave us His righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The moment we believe in Him, God treats us as righteous apart from our works or our obedience. God treats us as righteous. Romans 4, and I'm going to read from verse 5 through to 8. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Hallelujah. Folks, this is a covenant of righteousness. We're in the new covenant. It's a covenant of righteousness. Now look, watch this. The enemy is going to come at you this week and he's going to remind you of all the bad things that you've done. All the times you've lost your temper. All the things that you don't want anyone else to know about. The enemy will come in and he's going to remind you of those things. I say, yeah, but they don't know what you're really like. Yeah, but they don't know. But you've kept yourself hidden. They don't really know what you're like. Well, you know what? Stick a film up of the worst things, people, whatever they're doing, sin. Not that we would want to watch such a film. But no matter what it is, I tell you now, no matter what it is, the man who's writing most of this was a murderer. The man who wrote most of this was a murderer. He was murdering innocent people. His name was Saul. He was converted. He became Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. And the truth is that this is the man who's best suited to show us that your righteousness is not about your works, how good or how bad you've been. Your righteousness must be about faith in Jesus and Him alone. And this is the right man for the job, because this man was a murderous man. Hallelujah. He took away the life of innocent people. And he's the one who explains it. God used him to explain it to you and me. Isn't God beautiful? Amen. Isn't he worthy to be praised? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. What a great gospel we have. This is a new covenant of righteousness, a righteousness that comes by faith and not by works. You're not righteous because of how morally upright you are. You're not righteous because you exercise self-control, although these are good things. But you're not righteous because you read 10 chapters of the Bible daily or because you feel righteous. Never be led by feelings. See, the enemy would have feelings and emotions tell you that you're not righteous, that you're guilty. And then you walk in guilt and condemnation. Don't trust feelings. Walk by faith. And let faith be based on the Word of God. Let faith be based on the Word of God. And this is what it says. You are the very righteousness of God in Christ solely because the sacrifice of Jesus made you righteous. That's it. When you believe this, your faith is accounted for righteousness. And this is what God wants you to use your faith for. As we close here this morning. God wants you to use your faith for this purpose. If you're righteous by your deeds, you don't need faith. You also don't need faith to know that you're sinful. But you need faith to believe and declare that you're righteous and that your righteousness is of God in Christ in the midst of your struggles with temptation and sin. That's when you need to exercise your faith in this. For example, you feel lousy, you feel bad because you've just sinned. God wants you to exercise your faith to see yourself as still righteous in the midst of failure. This living faith is a revelation that you are still righteous and that He will give you strength to walk in victory over sin rather than self-condemnation. And when you grasp that, you enter into a cycle of victory rather than the cycle of condemnation and defeat. So we have to train ourselves to take on board this righteousness so that when that moment comes, we don't accept condemnation. We only accept righteousness. We say, no, I'm righteous. Thank you, Lord, I'm righteous. And what happened? You say, well, look what you just shouted at that person. How wrong you were, or whatever it is. How wrong you were. Don't allow yourself to fall into the trap of self-condemnation. Train your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you have to exercise discipline because your emotions will want you to feel guilt because that's the way that they'll take you. But you have to say to yourself, no, I refuse that. I'm not going to walk by my emotions. I'm going to walk by faith now. And God, despite what I've just done, God doesn't condemn me. God doesn't see me as unrighteous because of my actions just now. No, God sees me as righteous despite those actions. And so I will not allow myself to fall into condemnation or fall into self-reliance or fall into, walking in guilt and anguish. That's a circle of defeat. Because I promise you, friends, while we are in this flesh, the good that we want to do, we don't do. If the good that we want to do, we don't do, it is no longer we that do it, but sin living in us that does it, as Paul explains in Romans. You see, those things are going to happen. And if we allow ourselves to be condemned, we have a roller coaster type of Christianity. How are you feeling today? Oh, I'm feeling great today. How are you feeling this? Oh, I'm feeling terrible. I don't know. Oh, I feel great now. Hallelujah. 3 good days. I don't know what I, maybe I'll, And see, this is what happens to people. Now, what God wants is this. God wants us to be disciplined. That's why He calls the followers disciples. So that when that moment comes, instead of having an emotional response, instead of that, what we do is we say, well, you know what? There we go again. More evidence of the flesh. Hallelujah, though. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You haven't condemned me. You knew what I was like. And you still love me. And you went to the cross to save me. And you've given me hope. And you've forgiven me. Hallelujah. In fact, He's not just forgiven us, folks. He's forgiven us. And He's also imputed His righteousness into us. Oh, it's so unfair. It's gloriously unfair. Oh, it's wonderfully unfair. You see, it's not fair. I'm so happy it's not fair. If it was fair, I'd be languishing, folks. It's not fair. I feel like doing a funny walk. I just can't. It's in me. I just feel so happy. It's not fair. It's faith. It's faith in Jesus. It's faith in his imputed righteousness. You are righteous. Now, don't try and get someone else to treat you as if you're righteous. Bless the darlings. Perhaps they won't. But you've got to treat yourself that you are the righteousness of God. You have to start walking like that. Because when you walk like that, your perspective on life changes. And you no longer think of someone in defeat who's walking from defeat and defeat, self-condemnation. Oh, poor me, pity parties, I've just messed up again, and I'm a terrible person, and that type of defeat. No. What happens is you change the cycle of defeat into a cycle of victory. And the cycle of victory goes like this. It doesn't matter what happens. I am the righteousness of God. I'm not just forgiven. I've been made righteous. And now no matter what happens, I won't be defined by my failure. And when the enemy comes along this week and says, look what you call yourself a Christian. He tries to get you into the circle of defeat. Say, no, I'm not going into the circle of defeat, thanks. No, I've spent too long in that. I am rejoicing in the circle of victory. I am more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. I am forgiven. In fact, I am the very righteousness of God. And then when you start taking that on board, you won't walk as a normal human being. You're not just a human being, folks. You're not just an ordinary person, a normal human being out there. You're not. You are supernatural. You have been born again, metamorphosized by faith in Jesus Christ. And that means that the power potential in you is enormous. And so you can be used by God to do great things. I really mean this. Great things in different areas of life. I don't know what they might be. But you could be the hero in your family. You could be the great person in your family. You know, we all like heroes, don't we? I like heroes. I enjoy watching, you know, a film occasionally. I mean, one of my favorite films is that film Rocky, you know, the boxing hero. I like that film. Hero. Well, he's called you to be a hero. You're the righteousness of God for a purpose. To be a hero in life. A hero to your family. A hero to the workmates. A hero to friends. Maybe a hero to a whole area. Maybe a hero to a country. You say, well, how will that manifest? Listen, don't look for glory in the world's eyes. You know, something happened this week. I believe it was a miracle. The Brexit vote won. Amen. I believe that was a miracle. I really do. I just didn't think that that could happen, but it happened. Hallelujah. I was so pleased. And as I thought about it, I thought, how could that have happened? And I believe it was because some people were praying in faith. And God is still on the throne, you know.
Amen.
God is still in charge. People think that God isn't in charge. He is still in charge, folks. He is alive and well. He is in charge. We, the Christians, are the victorious ones. If you listen to too many people, you'd think that we weren't. No, listen, folks. We're the victorious ones. We win. We've read the book and we win. And we win now. And he's called us to faith, to victory, not walking in self-condemnation and fear and doubt, but walking in the fullness of his promises as shown in the word. Praise be to God. Amen. We're going to study this tonight and talk about this and learn more. But wasn't that something? Righteousness by faith, a doctrine of the Christian church. Hallelujah. Let's stand, please, now. Let's stand. And as we close right here, we're going to close. And yes. Sing, hallelujah. Yeah. And just as we're going to close here, I want us to have an opportunity to respond. I tell you why I want people to respond. What happens is so easy to leave the meeting and nothing changes. You say, oh, that was good. Oh, I liked hearing that. I liked hearing this. I liked you. But you know, really, the important bit is when we respond to God. It's good that we can respond emotionally and intellectually, but it's important to respond to God. That's the important part of the church service. When we as individuals do business with God, that's why I like to have a time at the end of the service where we give everyone an opportunity to respond to God. So at this point now, let's respond to God. And I'm going to invite everyone to close their eyes. I don't want anyone looking around. No one looking around. Because we're going to respond to God. We're not responding to each other. We're responding to God. And this is what we're going to say. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for this. I want us to respond and say this. That I choose from this moment on to study and to take on board the fact about the truth that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I haven't perhaps you haven't lived with that really strongly in your mind. From this moment onwards, I'm inviting you to live with that strongly in your mind. Live with that as something that's alive in you. Knowing that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You're not being condemned. No one's condemning you. There's no condemnation for you because you're in Christ. And you live now with this righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if that's you this morning and you're saying, I want to take that on board. Oh, I want to grasp that message with two hands. I'm going to study those Bible scriptures. I'm going to get that right into the depths of my being. I'm going to let that word abide in me. If that's you this morning, you put your hands up and respond right now. You put your hands up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See hands up there this morning. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We praise you, Father God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, because, Lord, we come to you as children this morning, each one of us here, Lord. We come to you as children and we say this, Father God, help us, Lord, not to be caught in the trap of the enemy, circle of defeat, but to be alive in you, in a circle of victory, because of what Jesus, our Lord and wonderful Savior, has done, because of the truths of the Word of God that have come alive to us. Father God, have your way and help us now live in the fullness of the truth of your word, that we would live as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we would know that truth and that we would leave condemnation and guilt behind and we would walk in victory and truth and the righteousness that you've given us. You've imputed to us. Oh, you're so wonderful and worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We close this meeting then with joy in our hearts and praise.